What are you even worried about? It's Worry Week on The Wire.
Yes, it is Worry Week on The Wire, and this week it is cybersecurity. And our man who's not here, Connor Mercer, shout out Connor Mercer, he set a story up for us to do today. And Connor, now you took the interview just after 11 o'clock, and tell us a little bit about it.
I did. Well, for Worry Week, particularly what I'm most worried about, or at least what we're worried about on BFM, is cybersecurity around cryptocurrencies.
Yeah.
So New Zealand's become a new destination for cryptojackers. These are people who will hijack your gear to basically use it to their own benefit. It's almost like a sort of online bank robbery almost, or raiding someone's account. I talked to Mark Shaw, who is a technology security expert for Symantec. He works in the Pacific region, and he talked about how to make yourself more secure on your computer when you're dealing with cryptocurrencies. Firstly, what is cryptojacking?
So cryptojacking is something that we've seen take place, I guess, on the back of the rise of digital currencies. And we've seen the value of digital currencies, you know, most people are familiar with Bitcoin, I suppose, rise exponentially over the course of the last couple of years. And fundamentally, the idea behind cryptocurrencies is I'll use my machine resources to solve complex mathematical equations, and that spits out for me, you know, a coin or some sort of digital currency. And the idea of cryptojacking is that rather than me use my machine resources and gain the benefits from the output of that, the attackers or the cyber criminals will actually use some code embedded in web pages that I might browse to, or even better, if they can get a piece of software onto my machine, they can actually use my machine resources, my cooling, you know, all of the costs that would normally be incurred to generate a cryptocurrency coin. They can actually use my machine to generate that and then take the proceeds themselves. So that's something that we call cryptojacking, and we saw, I think, something like 8,500% increase over the course of last year. So that's pretty significant.
Why is it on the rise in New Zealand, and is this a trend that a lot of other developed countries are seeing too?
Yeah, this is certainly globally. The interesting thing about New Zealand, though, is that coin mining detections or cryptojacking, as a percentage of overall detections, you know, across all the other types of detections that we saw, ransomware and everything else, it's actually greater in New Zealand than any other of the countries that we looked at. So we're certainly getting more than our fair share, but this is a global phenomenon, and certainly New Zealand's not immune. If anything, we're being slightly more targeted than others. And it's it's a pretty simple attack for the cyber criminals to launch. As I say, if it's a browser-based attack, often they just need a couple of lines of code in a page that we're visiting, and as long as we've got that page open, it's going to be processing and trying to generate those cryptocurrencies and using my machine resources to do that.
What are the motives behind it for cyber criminals? Like, what do they have to gain from engaging in this?
Well, they get the result of the coin mining operation, so they ultimately end up with digital currency themselves. So instead of me getting the benefits of processing those complex mathematical equations using my hardware here, my laptop or my server or whatever else I happen to have sitting around, I don't see any of that. I don't see the proceeds. Those proceeds go to the cyber criminal, and of course, you know, they can build up their stash of cryptocurrency, and of course there's a somewhat well-established markets out there for trading these and converting these into dollars.
Do you believe that governments or technology security companies can help prevent or mitigate these kind of online crimes?
Absolutely. You know, this is always a bit of a game of whack-a-mole, as you can appreciate in the threat landscape, in the cyber landscape. There's, you know, if we go back a few years, ransomware was really the topic of the day, and that's still a big problem today, where, you know, attackers will try and hold, you know, my personal information, my files, my photos and so on to ransom until such time as I pay that, and they'll allow me to decrypt them, or maybe they won't, depending if they're good people or not. So, you know, these are evolutions that attackers will go through depending on the nature of what's available to them. So the cryptocurrency rise, and of course we see the rise of that. Now, from a security perspective, from a semantics perspective, of course, there's protections in place to ensure that, you know, you can mitigate the risk of being impacted by these types of attacks. And, you know, it's the old common sense type stuff around making sure you've got security software deployed on your machines and it's up to date and all that kind of thing. More widely, though, when we think about the role that government plays in something like cryptocurrencies and so on, it's a very deregulated space. So it is a bit of a wild west out there at the moment in terms of not just what the cyber criminals are doing, but cryptocurrencies generally is a real wild west. Now, it's a very deregulated environment. It's a very distributed environment. So for people that are wanting to get onto the cryptocurrency bandwagon, and there's many that have and still many that want to, it's about understanding that, you're not dealing with a bricks and mortar financial institution like you were previously. And I think governments certainly have a role to play. We've seen in Japan a lot of influence from the government there in terms of setting up regulations around the way that cryptocurrency exchanges need to operate and the guidelines under which they operate and so on, just to try and help protect citizens. So that's even beyond just, thinking about the cyber criminal activity that's taking place. But there is a lot of risk generally around cryptocurrency that governments can step in and try and help to regulate.
We talked about individuals and potential security risks surrounding their use of cryptocurrencies. But on a kind of larger scale, we started seeing places like Hong Kong and Singapore and Japan becoming major transaction hubs for these cryptocurrencies. If major companies start really investing in those currencies and they are the victims of cryptojacking, how severe do you believe the consequences would be?
Like anything, the risks need to be weighed up with the rewards. And I think most organisations are pretty sensible when it comes to, and are regulated themselves. If they're financial institutions, in Australia, you've got APRA as a regulating authority, there's banking ombudsman and so on. In terms of understanding what they should and shouldn't invest in, there's a lot of guidelines around that, and they'll have their own risk appetites they need to meet. So, cryptocurrencies are certainly being explored by organisations, and probably more importantly, blockchain as a technology, which is one of the underpinning technologies behind cryptocurrencies, but has applications far beyond just cryptocurrencies, applications across many different economic areas. These are burgeoning concepts, and I think any organisation should be considering, or most organisations should be considering, the potential benefits that these types of technologies deliver, not just cryptocurrency, but blockchain generally. We're seeing blockchain being investigated, not just in banking, but in supply chain, in pharmaceuticals, airlines. Almost any business can be can look at blockchain as a potential a positive thing to use. But cryptocurrency, that's another step, right? That's a slightly more riskier foray, and one that I think most organisations would be but a little bit wary of before jumping into too much.
And kind of just to round this off, for the individual New Zealander out there who wants to get involved in cryptocurrency trading or blockchain, or who is involved in cryptocurrency trading at the moment, what are kind of the absolute essential, totally unforgettable security measures that one can take to prevent against the risk of cryptojacking?
Yeah, look, I think anybody looking to get involved in cryptocurrency, first and foremost, should recognize that they aren't protected to the same extent as they would be dealing with a bricks and mortar bank or even an online banking institution that has to meet certain standards and regulations, has to comply with lots of different mandates. So if I want to get into cryptocurrencies generally, I need to recognize that I am assuming a lot of risk. I have to understand how to secure my wallet, whether that's in an online space or actually locally on my machine. I need to understand things like encryption. I need to recognize that I can't call up a call center number in the event that I've forgotten the password that I used to decrypt the wallet on my phone. These are all and there's lots of different ways of doing all these different things around cryptocurrency, lots of different tools that I can use and so on. I really you have to really do a lot of research before you go into that particular space. Beyond then, if I'm involved in cryptocurrency, but even if I'm not involved in cryptocurrency and I want to avoid being the target of a crypto-jacking scheme, and as I say, 8,500% increase last year in crypto-jacking, where the attacker will try and take over my machine to generate coins and send them back to themselves. Again, normal security precautions apply, right? We have, within the Symantec software, and there's plenty of others out there, the ability to detect and stop these types of attacks. So make sure your security software is not only installed, but up to date. You know, if you haven't updated it for a year, then you're not going to see a lot of the new attacks that are coming through. And then it's just common sense, right? A lot of the time, the way that they're getting software onto your machine or the way they're getting you to go to particular web pages is through phishing emails. Email continues to be the largest vector of attack. We still see people falling victim to you know, what looks like a legitimate email just to try and entice that user to click through, maybe even provide credentials or download a piece of software and install that. That happens all too frequently, and I think probably even more so in New Zealand than other places. We tend to be a little bit naive on that front still. So, you know, there's some really common, and just take everything that you're doing with it with a grain of salt and think about, you know, is this too good to be true? Because often it is. And I think as long as we think twice before we're opening the attachment or clicking on that link or you know, where it is we're browsing to, that can go a long way to ensuring we remain protected from these types of threats.
Irirangi Pō, Radio Bosom.
The Wire.
Want to pursue your academic passions? After some high-level career opportunities? About to finish your undergrad and terrified of the world outside? Wonderful! May 21st to 25th is Postgrad Week at the University of Auckland, and it's packed with information sessions and opportunities for one-on-one advice. Get into the nitty-gritty of postgraduate study and find answers for all your difficult questions. Postgrad Week at the University of Auckland, May 21st to 25th. Register now at postgradweek.ac.nz.
OMG, I'm obsessed with this podcast.
Oh, true crime histories. Or Grimm's Missingsville. Is it Criminal Yarns? Craig T. Nelson's Murder Tales.
No.
Oh, I got it. Tragedy Vultures. I love Tragedy Vultures.
Nah, it's one of the other ones where they watch bad movies.
Tacky.
Expand your podcast horizons. All of 95BFM's excellent shows and segments are available as podcasts on iTunes, RSS, or whatever podcatcher you're into. Never miss out again. 95BFM Vcasts. Subscribe to your favorite shows now.
Kei te whakarongo koe ki te wire, marunga irirangi pō.
The Wire.
Many of New Zealand's birds flew here from Australia, 1,500 miles away across the sea to the west. They started to do so millions of years ago, and they're still doing so today.
Just wanted to do a shout out to David Attenborough, 92 years old today, still going strong. So if you keep up the good work, David, mate. Love it. And that brings us, we're nearing the end of the show. It's 12:55, 5 minutes to go. I'll have a quick chat about plastic bags before I let you guys go today. Countdown has just released yesterday that they are planning to stop having plastic bags in 10 of their supermarkets around the country. They'll phase them out from the 21st of May. The stores will no longer offer plastic bags at the checkout, and customers will have to bring their own or buy a reusable bag at the checkout. Countdown spokeswoman Kiri Huffinen said changing customer services behavior was one of the biggest challenges to phasing out plastic bags. They said, if you bring a wheelbarrow, that's cool. We'll pack anything you bring. Just bring whatever you want and we'll pack it into those bags. So the stores that they are doing it in are Dargaville, they're doing one in Highland Park, Papakura, Massey in Auckland, Johnsonville Mall in Wellington, they're doing one in Whanganui, Blenheim, Christchurch, and Grey Lynn, Richmond Road, and last but not least, Gisborne. So I thought it was interesting after our chat with James Blackwood a couple of weeks ago that that more is happening with the plastic bag changes, and it's good to see, and we hope it continues. That's bringing us to the end of the show. We've got a few thank yous to say today before we sign out. Thank you to Sahib Rafiq, David Parker, and Mark Shaw for chatting with us today. Thank you to Connor Nell and Jack Marshall for making my job pretty easy. I didn't have to do too much today. I was just pushing the buttons, which was nice. And Jin's up next with the 1 to 4. Stay tuned. And lastly, happy birthday, David Attenborough. New Zealand Music Month. We're going to go out with a song from Bailey Wiley. This is Lady. Have a good one out there, guys.
How fine we talk?
Denzel Washington fine, or like,
he's cute?
No, but that's not what I'm talking
okay.
about.
Okay.
executed in this house.
Yes, he has to be super fine, fine to take down. He has to have great sense of humor, sensitive, very charming, no good, washed, bored stomach. That's a six-pack.
I would settle for a four.
What you know, what you know, what you know about a lady. What you know, what you know, what you know about a lady. Contemplating my window, I'm sitting on my lake.
Can't miss ya.
Unemotional, self-indulgent, heartless, useless. I thought if I loved you like that, you would love me right back.
Tuesday 1 to 4 on BFM with Jin.
Yeah.
just be thankful.
Yes, indeed, you are listening to 95BFM, the Tuesday 1 to 4 show for this Tuesday, 8th of May, 2018. I hope you're well. Sounds like we're on the yoga hour. Hot rocks. We will ease into today's show, though. Nice and mellow to begin with. Who knows in what direction we will head after that. It is BFM, so there'll be a little bit of something for everybody. Of course, we'll be playing one or two songs from 95BFM Top 10, which you can vote for now, by the way, 5395 on the text line. They do cost 20 cents on both the Vodafone and Spark networks, respectively 9 cents on 2 degrees. I know I say that every week, but I feel like I should put it out there. You know, how much it's going to cost you. Just put the word vote in front of whom you're voting for and then whom you're voting for, and it'll be collated and played out in its correct order by Pearl on the 95PFM BFM Top 10, Wednesday evening 7 to 9, which precedes the excellent Freak the Sheep, Zach Arnold's Aotearoa music show. Thanks to the Tuesday Wire team, always well worth catching up on the B-cast if you haven't. Just head to 95BFM.com. All of the shows that you hear on air pretty much have a B-cast up there. Just navigate yourself to their page, or in fact the B-cast list, and you'll be able to find it all, as you will this one, a little bit later on, after the show actually finishes. Would love for you to subscribe to the Tuesday 1 to 4 show on Apple iTunes. And also, of course, we're asking for you good people out there to generously donate to the monthly cause that is BFM via the B-Card. More details on that in a moment. We started off the show with the Space Lady off her new album, On the Street of Dreams, which is out through Bongo Joe. Space Lady doing her own thing. And was here at Golden Dawn not too long ago, thanks to the excellent crew there, Matthew Crawley, of course, and various others. I thought we'd ease on in with some Nicholas Jaar off his Space Is Only Noise. Such a great description for an album. This is Balance Her In Between Your Eyes. And then we'll mysteriously head off somewhere else after that.